I need to think on those things. And then when something comes across my path that I don't have control over, I find myself feeling sensitive, I need to replace that thing with something that is true, something that is noble, something that's right, something that's pure, something that's lovely, something that's admirable, something that's excellent or praiseworthy from the Word of God. The battle in the heart, as far as I can see, is the battle between life and death. There are thoughts and issues of the heart that lead to death, and there are thoughts and issues of the heart that lead to life. And you see Jesus doing all this crying and loud cries and tears and stuff. So he's sensitive. Jesus is fully alive. So I think in that way, something I've looked down upon myself a lot for. I've often looked down as, oh yeah, I'm just real sensitive and all that kind of stuff. But what does that mean? It means to be alive. When the sun rises, the first flower that responds to the first glimmer of light shows a level of life that the other flowers don't have. It is 1:08 on September 9, 2022. So I've made two recordings already on the trail that I've thrown away. And they were really me collecting the weakness that I've experienced in a particular area that I have weakness, where occasionally I'm allowing myself to be robbed of my peace by allowing my focus to be put on things that it shouldn't be put on. And then what I find is that weakens me. And then the natural things that happen in life, just the random offensive things that happen from being in a world that is corrupt by sin with sinful people, these things become even more weighty to me. And I have just found myself expressing the frustration of these events that I've just experienced in the last 24 hours. And I've made the point that I recognize that one of the areas that I'm weak in, you know, like if you're Superman, you have to be aware of kryptonite and where kryptonite is at and how it can affect you. And so I'm aware that I have a certain kryptonite, which is the fact that I am a feeler. And so I feel things, whether they be good or bad, a lot more than the average person does, particularly maybe the average man. This seems to be a vulnerability, but it's also a strength. I'm fully alive, but I'm fully vulnerable. That's the way I would describe it. A lot of people deaden their hearts. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. And when people get hurt, the natural tendency in their nature is to withdraw, like a turtle pulling into the shell. And a turtle has a hard shell, and humans create one around their hearts, and they begin to disconnect from feelings, and they begin to pull their feelings in because it's too easy to be hurt. And what you see now in today's world is people are hurt, and it turns them hard. So you meet a lot of really hard people in this world, and they maybe weren't all that way, but with enough disappointment, enough hurts, enough betrayals, enough unmet expectations, we began to withdraw our feelings. And I see this at varying levels all around me. And one thing that I seem to have never done is this. I seem to be the person who has no capacity to harden my heart. And as a result, I get hurt more, and I can feel all kinds of things. Like, I'm very sensitive when I watch a movie. Again, the movie is just such a huge insight into what I'm talking about. I sometimes will catch myself watching a movie. Like recently, I've watched some true World War II type stories, and I find myself, you know, my physiology changes. And I start to sweat, and I can feel my body heat get really intense. I become uncomfortable. I have to throw a cover off if I have a cover on me. I have to sometimes sit up, and I have to almost go, Michael, snap out of it. It's just a movie, man. And that's a clue as to how I am vulnerable to anything that comes outside of me into me, whether it be news that Lisa gives me, whether it be news that Tyler gives me, whether it be news on the news, whether it be a comment, whether it be an email. I am very sensitive to feelings. Now, I have desensitized myself somewhat to certain things. Like, it doesn't feel nearly as, you know, uncomfortable to receive, you know, you're a serial adultering heretic, twister of the word, you know, child of devil email or comment like it did 10 years ago. But I still can feel them. I still haven't hardened my heart and just said, oh, to hell with all those people. I still care. Yesterday, I picked up this homeless guy, took him to the top of the mountain. I was so excited to find out he was a Christian. And he was talking all about how, you know, trusting Jesus, it's all about Jesus. And God's really dealing with me harshly. You know, I got in trouble, got in drugs. Now I'm living in the woods with my girlfriend, but I'm trying to, you know, really follow God and he's everything and all that. And I'm listening to all this going, wow, this is great. And then here came the whole weird thing. And he starts going on about this certain subject and it's just really weird. And I'm just, and suddenly I can just feel myself sinking and I'm sinking under it. I walk out of Walmart today with Tyler and there's this lady sitting in her car with her husband and she's screaming, this very large, nasty looking woman, just in the front seat of her car for no reason, like she's a 2-year-old. And she gets out and I walk past the car to look in to see if everything's okay. And they look like they are fresh out of the woods. Like they are, you know, weeks away from death. Like these are people who've drank down sin. I mean, they look like the kind of people that live in a crack house or a meth house. And I'm sensitive to that evil. Last night I had to make a recording to somebody where I'm concerned there's going to be a clash of spirituality, where my spirituality is going to rub up against their carnality. There's going to be conflict and it's going to create hard feelings and tensions and a certain family. And I woke up this morning thinking negative about a certain thing that this family is wanting to do for me and how I'm not interested in that thing because it's carnal and it doesn't do anything for me. And, you know, where do you draw the line between pleasing God and pleasing man and trying to be all things to all people so that you may win them over? And here I am kind of called in the likes of a prophet and God makes my forehead hard and I have to bring correction, rebuke, instruction. And I'm just like, all this stuff. Then the queen dies yesterday and I get notifications about this or what have you from a few people. And it happens that it's my birthday. And last night, after an incredible day of providence, I decide, oh, let me just watch this documentary on Netflix about the queen and her sister. And I find that stuff kind of interesting recently, learning about monarchies. I watch it and I just kind of pause and I look at this and say, man, what foolishness this whole monarchy, what absolute foolishness and what godlessness and what wickedness and what idolatry in the hearts of the people towards all of this. It's just a bunch of nonsense. It's just a bunch of totally rich, snobbish, sinful, privileged people who love and adore themselves and fame, and they all do it all in the name of public service, and it's all corrupt. There's wicked and evilness that touches every aspect of their lives, and people just can't get enough of it. And I look at this, and then I have a feeling about that. And I wake up this morning, I'm concerned about, you know, this family issue I was just talking about. And yesterday Lisa was talking with me and I was all excited and all that. And then suddenly one thing led to another and she brought up a certain conversation that led to a certain group of people that had a certain subject in it. And within a few minutes, I just felt, wow, what happened to my energy? My energy had drained. I've been very aware over the last few months that my energy can be drained very quickly. I'm sensitive to so many things. The good news is that because of the grace of Christ, to my knowledge, I'm not responding to it in an evil way, but it is like such that I'm hurting other people. But it's zapping me of my strength and it's creating more weakness, more weight. It feels inescapable. You know, I could feel it yesterday when Lisa told me that her garbage can was stolen. And immediately, instead of thinking, ah, Romans 8:28, if God allowed it, God wanted to have that garbage can like I did when the man drove across the lot, I didn't think about that until today. I told Lisa, I said, wow, I'm tempted to be offended by that, that somebody would steal your garbage can knowing that she lives around all these godless, wicked people who do this stupid stuff like this. They stole her huge garbage bin. And I said, see, they've gotten smart here in the States. You can't do that here because everybody gets a number on their garbage can. So if you get caught with somebody else's garbage can, she goes, oh, well, they put stickers on ours. And I said, well, that's not smart. Stickers are removable, but, you know, stitched in letters and stuff are not. And that's how they've done it here in the U.S. So I'm just trying to keep a fresh record of all these things that I notice. And because I'm a feeler, these things affect me. And because I'm in this place of real weakness right now, tired and on thin ice and a long period of suffering, I'm even more weak. I see 858 on the way to the trail this morning, and I recognize it's God saying to me, he promises peace to his people. Let them not return to their folly. So I'm out here in the woods. I'm trying to record all this, capturing how I have this vulnerability that I've known about for years. Know thy weakness, and I know mine. I've got several. So this is a weakness of mine, and I am realizing it's even weaker because of the situation I'm in. And I could feel this, and my body has a physiological reaction, like a threat response. So I think it has to do with basically how I was brought up and how everything in my life was a threat. It's like I grew up in the savanna of Africa or in the jungles of, you know, the Amazon. And there's a potential threat everywhere. And you have to stay on high alert. And your whole life, almost everything that pops up as a threat is legitimately a threat. And so you end up feeling very vulnerable. And it's really bizarre how God is never seemingly taking this away from me. It's like I'm fully alive. I am trying to not cause myself to sin against God or sin against others in my weakness. I'm trying to be very well aware of it. I realize that I cannot stop when I walk out of Walmart and there's a woman sitting in her car screaming. I can't control the people who jerk their steering wheel in front of me and act all foolish or the sinful things that are going on all over the world. I can't, but those things are definitely weighing more on me now because of the state that I'm in. And Lisa and I keep seeing all these providences that are telling me that the fury of the oppressor is going to end, that God is going to separate us from the wicked, give us peace in the land, we'll no longer be oppressed. And when you see where he gave us land by faith, we still believe this is the land he's given us, that it is incredibly a picture of peacefulness. And I'm looking forward to that. And I keep seeing every day 531 and the land enjoyed peace for 40 years. It's like God is reminding me. He knows that I'm on thin ice for a long time. He knows that I'm being affected by these things. And he sees the, you know, the need for me to be very careful. So one of the main points is I've just went and memorized Philippians 4:8. I've quoted it many times, but I've never memorized it. So I've just tried to memorize it word for word. And I feel like that is what the Lord really wants me to focus on. And I keep getting tripped up. I keep getting off the track of that. And it's like my being bored helps me out a little bit. Oh, I know, you know, I've done all my Bible studying today, talking, praying. Let me just watch this documentary. You know, like I watched the Trump documentary like 2 weeks ago about Unfit. It just confirms everything I've known about him for a long time. And it just makes you disgusted when you see these things. If you truly are a righteous person, it makes you feel such indignation. You feel horror, like a lot, tormented in your soul, knowing that he's a reflection of the quality of the people that you live amongst. That's why they love him so much. Just exactly what the principle that A.W. Pink taught, that it's been well known that the leader of a certain country is simply a reflection of how God sees the people. He gives them the exact king, the exact ruler that is a reflection of who they are. And so people don't understand. That's the deplorable condition. You look at how evil this man is, how arrogant, prideful, money-loving, worldly, hypocrite, lying, cheating, stealing, totally like a sociopath, totally disconnected from other people's feelings, totally willing to say whatever he wants to say, treating women like dogs, you know, and just telling people what they want to hear. And that kind of stuff makes me indignant. And it can affect me. And I'm like, man, I got to stay away from watching that kind of stuff. I just can't do that. I didn't need to. And praise God, that didn't affect me as much as it normally would. But this is the point I'm trying to make, is that I'm sensitive. I have to know this about myself. I cannot control things that God allows to touch me beyond my control, but I can control a lot of what I'm putting in front of my eyes. Hence, I'm not hardly watching any YouTube videos. I've unsubscribed. I had some calisthenic videos that were popping up here and there. The guys with their ripped abs and, oh, you got to do this. You got to eat this. You got to do this. I'm like, I got to get rid of this stuff. I don't even want to see this in my YouTube channel. I've unsubscribed from all of that. I don't want to be worried about how I don't measure up to somebody when I'm getting ready to go into a marriage. I don't want to be focused on my appearance. And I know that God has allowed me to be weak like this. God has allowed me to be a feeler. That's what my ministry is about. If I was just hard-hearted and I was just preaching a dead word with no connection to, human emotions to it, then nobody would identify with it any more than they identify with whatever else is being preached dead in the name of Jesus Christ today that has no life behind it. But I also have to try to preserve myself in that weakness with God's help. Be smart and be wise. Above all things, guard your heart, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. So Paul says in Philippians 4:8, let me see if I memorized it well enough. He says, finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. So I've just memorized that out here on the trail today. And I feel that is God's main word to me right now. Is I have to do the part to control all of my discretionary time to think only on things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. I need to think on those things. And then when something comes across my path that I don't have control over, I find myself feeling sensitive, I need to replace that thing with something that is true, something that is noble, something that's right, something that's pure, something that's lovely, something that's admirable, something that's excellent or praiseworthy from the Word of God. So when Lisa tells me that her garbage can's been stolen and I feel a temptation to feel offended about that, I need to say, do not fret when evil men succeed in their ways when they carry out their wicked schemes. For God knows what they have done. He mocks and laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. And he says, do not fret. It leads only to evil, but wait for the Lord. Trust in the Lord in these things. Or I could say, Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for the good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. How do I not know? Maybe somebody might steal her garbage can, be convicted by the Lord, and come to faith in Christ. Somebody may come back and apologize. Who knows? Lisa may have gotten a brand new garbage can because she needed it. Maybe hers was getting ready to crack. Instead of being offended, instead of allowing that thought to sit, step it up a notch, trust God, and bring in something that is true, something that is noble, something that is right, something that is pure, something that is lovely, something that is admirable, something that is excellent or praiseworthy, and replace that negative thought. Somebody does something that violates my heart, hurts me. Is not my house right with God? Has he not made an everlasting covenant with me, arranged and secured in every part? Will he not bring about my salvation and grant me my every desire? 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect me from every evil attack. 1 Corinthians 8:3, if God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The most important thing that I felt to remember about whatever things are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. These things are all bound up in God. There is nothing outside of him. When Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good. The only thing that is good and all those things that I just said is in the Word. So I need to remember immediately, which is pretty much what I do, to be fair. I just feel I need to be much more intentional about it right now to replace immediately anything negative that comes in over which I didn't choose to put into my heart. I need to immediately replace it with something beautiful, something true, some promise from God's Word. That is, again, putting on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, etc. and the feet shod with the gospel. And this is putting on, you know, the armor in these ways. And I think that I've allowed myself to be a little bit vulnerable. I have to deny myself any extracurricular activity to watch these videos. I was finding that even watching certain videos about, you know, certain calisthenic exercises, the anxiety I was feeling about, oh, I don't work out enough. Oh, I'm not going to look like that. I'm not taking care of myself enough. I need to be, you know, looking stronger for Lisa or whatever. And that stuff creates anxiety in me that's just not doing anything good to help me walk with Jesus Christ or to become more like Him. So Lisa and I are really, really working on rejecting any of these thoughts that put our focus on our appearance and all that. We just are thankful that God's given us enough cuteness left over to enjoy each other as newlyweds in that way and appreciate that way, but knowing that we really love how we look on the inside. That's how we're really, you know, thankful to God for. So anyhow, I'm just going to really focus. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. I want to think on these things. This is the difference between life in the heart and death. The battle in the heart, as far as I can see, is the battle between life and death. There are thoughts and issues of the heart that lead to death, and there are thoughts and issues of the heart that lead to life. God has made me very sensitive to light and dark, good and evil, right and wrong, death and life. I'm very sensitive. I would literally describe myself as somebody who's fully alive. I am one of the most alive people I know. I don't mean that to say, to brag, but what I mean is if you were to look at what does it mean to be alive, and that means to be fully sensitive to the rain and fully sensitive to the sun. The more alive a tree is, the more it is responding to its environment, both the darkness and the light, the sun and the rain. And if you have a tree that's not so sensitive, then it's not going to have much light in it. So I'm fully alive. Unfortunately, I'm not alive just to the positive, just to the light, just to the truth, just to God. I'm also alive and can feel Satan, can feel dark, can feel negativity, can feel evil, can feel wrong, can feel hurt. I'm very sensitive to this. And it seems like, you know, the same thing could be said about God. God is very sensitive. You know, when you look at how He feels, He's constantly talking about how, oh, I wished You would have called me husband. And You've made me so angry. And then He says, you know, oh, My compassion is aroused in me. How can I turn away from You through Hosea? And you see Genesis 6, His heart was pained and grieved. And you see Jesus doing all this crying and loud cries and tears and stuff. So he's sensitive. Jesus is fully alive. So I think in that way, something I've looked down upon myself a lot for. I've often looked down as, oh yeah, I'm just real sensitive and all that kind of stuff. But what does that mean? It means to be alive. When the sun rises, the first flower that responds to the first glimmer of light shows a level of life that the other flowers don't have. That's the truth. It makes life more difficult for me sometimes, but it also makes life more vibrant for me. The first flower to respond to the first rays of light is the flower that's the most alive. It's the most sensitive to the light. The first flower that begins to close when the darkness comes is the most alive flower. It's the most sensitive. It doesn't mean it's the weakest. It means it's the most alive. I've never really understood this like I am right now. And God would want that all of us be fully alive. And to be fully alive in this world is to be vulnerable. But it's also to be blessed. And I think that the battle has always been for the heart. I think the battle for people. I think if you were to look and make a generalized statement about the human race, everybody has varying degrees of life and death in their heart. That's what it comes down to. People have varying degrees of life and death. And what you find inevitably is the most alive people on the planet are children. No one would argue this. The most alive people on the planet are children. And then what happens is life begins to push in on your heart. Death begins to touch the life that's there. And you begin to withdraw feelings, and that's nothing more than dying, shrinking back. Instead of moving forward, you're going backwards. And then what you end up with is a life full of a bunch of fake hypocrites going through the motions called adulthood, wearing masks, trying to survive with whatever strengths they have, trying to hide their weaknesses, put forth their strengths, and hearts that are probably somewhat half alive. And those that have hearts that are alive to only the things of the world, that's not a life that God considers life anyhow. If you're only just excited about video games and movies and silly, ridiculous stuff, that's not living. There's no life in that. That's life support. That's artificial. So anyhow, I think I have a blessing in this and a weakness in this that I'm so alive. I think my wife would agree that she really appreciates the fact that I'm fully alive and she gets to enjoy my tender heart and all that. And she sometimes has to be sensitive to my sensitive heart. Pretty interesting to think about. I just had one other thought that I wanted to capture that I had put in a previous recording, and it was that I think that's one of the reasons that my ministry is so relatable to people that are going through such difficult things, is that I'm fully alive. That way I'm able to report the full spectrum of human emotion and experience for other people, and it's highly relatable. If my heart was partially deadened, then that's going to limit the number of people that I can actually reach and that people will be able to identify with. And it's easy to connect to a living heart. It's very difficult to connect to somebody who has deadened their heart. And you meet these people and you can sometimes feel like trying to engage with them is a bit like pulling teeth. Everything is just difficult. And that's a result of part of their heart being dead. Part of their heart is asleep, dead. It needs to be put on a defibrillator, and only God can awaken these things in us. But I think that's a reason why God has left me this way, is that if this were to be changed, then there would be no real ministry. If I were successful in hardening my heart, then there would not be very much to talk about. My experiences wouldn't be living. And what you hear in my recordings is very dramatic, emotion-filled blessings and highs, and very real, painful, colorful sufferings and lows. Something you can really identify with.